Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you all today. Today we're beginning a new sermon series called Stripped Away. This theme that we're going to be looking at throughout the season of Lent. The theme is very simple, but it's profound. That Lent is a season of sacred uncovering. That as we walk towards the cross, God gently strips away the layers that we use to hide. Our illusions of control, our misplaced worship, our false senses of life, our buried shame, and even the tombs we choose or we learn to inhabit. And each week we're going to be looking at one of the layers and invite Holy Spirit to come and peel it back. Strip it away so that we can learn the deeper truth, the deeper freedom, the deeper intimacy that with God can emerge. And today we're taking that first step into that journey, the wilderness of waiting. You know, if you listen to the story of Scripture, you'll learn something very surprising. That often before God does something through his people, he usually does something in his people. And often that place that he does his best work is in the wilderness. Before Moses led Israel, he tended sheep in the desert. Before Israel entered into the promised land, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Before David wore a crown, he hid in caves. Before Jesus preached his first sermon, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. You know, Mark's gospel tells us that immediately following Jesus' baptism, you know, right after the moment the heavens open up and the Father declares, "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased," that the Spirit then sends him into the wilderness. I mean, it's almost a jarring transposition there. We would expect triumph at this moment, not trial. But it is the Spirit that leads Jesus there. And it tells us something very important. That the wilderness is not a place of abandonment. It's a place of appointment. Mark says that Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan, surrounded by wild animals, and cared for angels. Mark, in his brevity, captures this tension of waiting. Danger and divine presence, silence and sustenance. And does anybody really enjoy waiting? Is there anybody here who looks forward to long lines at the grocery store or sitting in traffic or waiting for pots to boil? Right? I mean, if we're honest, we don't enjoy waiting. We live in an instant world. Instant downloads, instant answers, instant satisfaction. But in God's kingdom, waiting is often where the deepest work happens. Abraham waited decades for the child that he was promised. Joseph waited years in prison before stepping into leadership. Israel waited in the desert for their inheritance. David waited in exile before his anointing became reality. Waiting is not wasted in God's economy. It's a formative time. And in that formative time, something begins to happen. The Spirit starts to strip away layers. And the first layer that he strips away is our illusion of control. And we work very hard to manage our life. We make plans. We hold things together, right? We want to keep up appearances. But when the wilderness comes, it exposes how very little control that we have. The wilderness is a place where we learn dependence. And maybe that's what God is doing in your life right now, stripping away the illusion that you can make everything work. Showing you that the only solid ground is him. You know, Billy Graham once said that God brings us to the end of ourselves because that's where his grace begins. And if that's where you are this morning, at the edge or the end of your strength, don't despair, for you are standing on holy ground. You've reached the place where your striving ends and God's sufficiency begins. And the wilderness teaches us something else. It also exposes our false sources of life. You know, when everything is comfortable in our lives, it's easy to draw life from the wrong wells. We'll draw life from success or approval, activity, how many likes we get on Facebook. We can even gain it from ministry itself. The problem is that we're drawing from our own well. And as the old saying goes, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. We become our own self-perpetuating problem. You know, Matthew, we're told of the temptations that Jesus faced, and each of those temptations whispers the same lie. You can have life apart from the Father. Satan said, turn these stones to bread. Feed yourself. Jump from the temple. Prove yourself. Bow down to me. Exalt yourself. But each and every time Jesus answered, or not every time, but the first time, he said, man will not live by bread alone. And when that happens, you know, when our wells dry up, when we begin to realize that God invites us to drink from him alone. In the wilderness, the word of God becomes bread, and obedience becomes oxygen. And that's why Psalm 63 fits so beautifully in this moment. You know, David prays from his own wilderness, hiding from Saul. Oh God, my God, you are my God, and earnestly I search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. Right? He feels the dryness. He doesn't deny it. He names his thirst, and in doing so, his thirst becomes sacred. Later, he says, your unfailing love is better than life itself. Church, David isn't praising God because his circumstances were good. He's praising God because he's discovered something better than comfort. He's discovered God's presence. Because when God strips everything else away, what remains is God himself. When our lives are full of blessings, praise can be polite. We offer nice words to a generous benefactor. But in the wilderness, our praise becomes desperate and raw and real. It's no longer thanking God for what he's done. It becomes about adoring God for who he is. You know, I imagine David shouting this, I will praise you, Lord, as long as I live, lifting my hands to you in prayer. Right, the psalm begins in thirst but ends in worship because everything else gets stripped away. And the soul that clings to God finds that God is what truly satisfies. And if we look closely, the wilderness teaches us at least three things about who God really is. And first, that his presence is not absent and waiting. It's really all around us. You know, Mark says that the angels were attending to Jesus. We only know that because Mark told us afterwards. In a moment, those angels were unseen, quietly sustaining Jesus. You may not see his hand right now, but that does not mean that God is not there with you. Secondly, God's timing is not delayed, it's deliberate. You know, Jesus wasn't in the wilderness one day too long. The Father knew exactly how long that waiting needed to last. And thirdly, God's love is not conditional on our work. It's constant. Now think about this. Before Jesus did anything, before any of the miracles, before any of the sermons, before any of the healings, the Father said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this means that even if you are in a season of stillness, even if there is nothing big happening, the Father's love for you hasn't budged an inch. Waiting does not diminish belovedness. Because when Jesus came out of the wilderness, he was ready. Mark says he began to preach at that point, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." Now, church, we cannot skip the wilderness and expect depth in our lives. It's the wilderness that teaches us compassion. It teaches empathy. It teaches us how to minister not from strength, but from surrender. And this is why Lent is such a gift to the church. Right, for 40 days, we join Jesus in the desert. Not out of guilt, but out of longing. We voluntarily enter into a season of simplicity, of silence, of reflection or fasting. Whatever helps us to lay aside distraction and return to his love. Lent is a chosen wilderness. It is a deliberate slowing so that when the noise fades, we will hear that still small voice. You know, maybe you're in the wilderness right now, and you're in a wilderness that you did not choose. Perhaps you're waiting for healing or a breakthrough. Maybe you're waiting for reconciliation or a word from God. You aren't alone. And this too can become sacred ground. Because the same Spirit who led Jesus into the wilderness is the one who is walking with you in yours. He hasn't abandoned you. He is doing hidden work inside of you. And as we walk through this season of Lent, we must remember, every wilderness ultimately points to the cross. Right? Even after, at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he waited. He waited in Gethsemane for his arrest. He waited at trial for as false witnesses spoke. He waited on the cross for the Father's will to be finished. On the surface, Jesus' waiting looked like defeat. But in God's plan, it was the beginning of redemption. And if the Son of Man himself embraced waiting, even unto death, then our waiting isn't meaningless. It can be discipleship. Right? The way of Jesus is the way of trust. The cross comes before the resurrection. And then when the resurrection comes, and it will come, it carries with it a depth of beauty that only wilderness can produce. And church, as we enter this Lenten season, let's allow God to strip away what we cling to. Not to harm us, but to heal us. May our time in the wilderness be a place where we meet with God. May our time in the wilderness become worship. May our emptiness become an open space for his presence. And now as we end, let's lead into a time of prayer, bringing God into our wilderness, into our waiting, into our longing. I believe that God is inviting some of us out of our hiding today. You've been in a wilderness of waiting, waiting for answers, waiting for healing, waiting for breakthrough. And along the way, you've picked up things just to survive. Control and bitterness, numbing habits, shame that keeps you buried. Lent is the season where God, in his kindness, strips away those things that are killing us so that he can give us real life. And if you sense him speaking to you this morning, if you know there is something that he is asking you to bring into the light, I want to invite you to come to the altar this morning. Come as an act of surrender. Come as an act of trust. Come and simply say to God, Lord, here is my wilderness. Here, Lord, is my waiting. Here is what I have been carrying. I give you access so that you can strip away what doesn't belong and heal what is broken. You don't need the right words. You simply need a right heart. If you'd like to come this morning, and if you'd like someone to pray with you, I invite you to come to that side over there. And Pastor Bud and I will be available. We would love to pray with you. If you'd like to pray alone, and just you and God, why don't you come to this side? Right? And there's no difference between either one. Both of them is us coming to the Lord. But if you'd like to come, I invite you to do that. And as we sing. Amen. You know, there's that passage in the book of Revelation that just keeps on popping in my head right now where, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. You know, our Savior is a gentle Savior. He's not going to bust down the door and strip away these things that prevent us from being the type of people God wants us to be. He's not going to reach into our lives and yank out those things that prevent us from truly coming forward. He's not going to yank out unforgiveness or anger or envy or pride. He's just going to subtly knock. Church, I invite you this Lenten season to answer the door. To answer the call of our Savior. To allow God to strip away these layers that prevent us from truly encountering who he is and becoming the men and women of God he's called us to be. Let us pray. Gracious Father, teach us not to wait with despair, but with faith. Make us hunger holiness. Make us thirst for a pathway to you. God, we pray that you would strip away these illusions that we hide behind, the control, the noise, and the rush. We lift up to you those, dear God, those who are weary of waiting, those here today who feel forgotten. Lord, breathe fresh hope into their hearts. Lord Jesus, you know the wilderness. You walked in it, you wept in it, and you conquered it. We pray that you would now walk with us in ours. And may our waiting not end in weariness, but in the resurrected life. In your holy and precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Look forward to seeing you next week.